All right, so today's talk is titled The Rosary as a Spiritual Weapon. I told you I'm using this book by Father Donald Calloway, Ten Wonders of the Rosary. And he starts off by talking about a Polish Pope and a lightsaber. I actually don't like that kind of Star Wars language, but the Rosary is a spiritual weapon. Yes, it's against the forces of darkness, yes, but not lightsaber. But anyways, now, last month, you should remember that it's by meditating upon the mysteries of our Lord, we conform our hearts more to His will, and because of that, we end up becoming stronger in our own souls to be able to, first of all, dispel the darkness in our own souls so that we can be, in a way, a channel of light, God's own light, for this world. And that's how we change the world, make it a better place. It's by changing ourselves. And to change ourselves, we cannot make ourselves good, but praying the rosary, meditating on the mysteries, help us to connect to God, who is good and who can make us good. As our Lord said, no one is good but God alone. And so part of this expelling the darkness from our own hearts involves also fighting against falsehoods in the world. We must refuse. It's a work of charity to tell people, someone that, who believes it, that what they believe is something false, to teach them the truth of our Lord, and to bring them on the path towards God through the Church. And so the Rosary is a great help in that, especially when we have to conform ourselves to the truth to be able to spread the truth to everyone. Father Calloway has this great line here: modern falsehoods require ancient truths to answer them. And this is very true. The truth is God. The truth, God does not change, so the truth does not change. And it is up to us to actually conform to the truth so that we can channel or be the channel for God to change the world. Now, in this chapter, Father Calloway points out about, makes these points about Pope John Paul II's life in Poland, you know, communist Poland, especially, you know, that the Pope lived, he was a young man during the Second World War. He had to go to his seminary classes under the Germans and then the Russian occupation as well, the communist occupation. And he, for his studies, apparently his teachers would have to have music playing off the radio in the room so that the bugs that the communists had hidden in the room would not pick up the teaching of his philosophy and theology classes. So these kinds of things the Pope had to live with, and he learned, he did his studies then, he was ordained a priest, and he was always a member from his youth, a member of the Association of the Living Rosary. He prayed the rosary every day, Father Calloway says. And that's how he could endure communism, socialism, and Nazism, and so on. And so in his heart, he knew that the rosary is a weapon against all kinds of falsehoods. And then Father Calloway goes on to defend the five luminous mysteries. And so when I prepared this talk, I became all gung-ho about the luminous mysteries and so on. But since then, the Vatican came out with another curveball from left field with all these things about how you cannot use the words co-redemptrix and mediatrix for Our Lady. So if you remember, I actually used the doctrine of a Polish saint, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, to be able to make the sermon for Immaculate Conception. And Pope John Paul II had a lot of things to say supporting the idea that Our Lady is co-redemptrix. You might have seen some of the quotes in one of the editions of the bulletin soon after that document came out. So I cannot be too harsh against Pope John Paul II, but still, going by what he said in his exhortation, Rosarium Virginis Mariae, the Rosary of the Virgin Mary. In paragraph 19, he specifically said that the luminous mysteries are only a suggestion. They are not meant to change the rosary. And there are some strong points about why the Pope cannot and really should not change the rosary. So, but which I'll come up with later. But Father Calloway prones this these luminous mysteries, and he says a lot of things in support of them. I would say, because it was Our Lady who gave the rosary to Saint Dominic, we should hold to it as it is. And it has 150 Hail Marys for the simple reason that there are 150 Psalms. At Fatima, Our Lady also referred to the rosary as my Psalter, meaning she wanted to keep to that reference of 150 Psalms. All right, so so there are, you know, the 150 Hail Marys line up with those Psalms. And if Our Lady chose certain episodes of the life of our Lord for us to meditate on, they are valuable as they are. There was a man in Buffalo, with Una Voce Buffalo. His name was John Venari. You may have heard of him. He has died now a few years ago. But he actually said there was no real need for the Pope to add the luminous mysteries to the rosary. It is fine as it is, and given to us by Our Lady, we must preserve it and hold it as sacred and use it for our spiritual growth, for our spiritual life. I've also put down a little, it's my own opinion, that the five luminous mysteries, they are, you can use them, they are suggestions from Pope John Paul II, you can use them, but I put down a little parallel with what Our Lady already gave, to say that they are kind of included in the joyful, glorious, and sorrowful mysteries. So in that way, we should not think that they are something that the Pope was imposing on us. I'd say that because it's my own opinion, so don't quote me to the Vatican. The rosary, as it was given by our Lord, should be held and prayed as it is. By Our Lady, it should be held as, you know, sacred and held closer to our heart. And if you don't like the luminous mysteries, you can be my friend and not pray them. But I have put down a little parallel between the luminous and the other 15 mysteries that Our Lady already gave us. So if you will bear with me, the baptism in the Jordan, for example, I've lined it up with the third joyful mystery, the birth of our Lord. The wedding at Cana with the fourth joyful mystery, the presentation of our Lord and purification of Our Lady. This is where, if you go back to the Old Testament prophecies and read the book of Amos about how our Lord was in a way making himself manifest at the wedding of Cana. He made himself manifest by entering the temple, because the glory of the temple, it was said, was greater when our Lord was there than it had ever been in the past. When there was, at one point, the Ark of the Covenant, and then the tradition was kept, but the Ark was missing. It was hidden by Jeremiah. Just before the second exile. Then the proclamation of the kingdom of God, I would say, is the first glorious mystery. The transfiguration, the second glorious mystery, the ascension of our Lord. And the institution of the Eucharist, and that I lined up with the fifth sorrowful mystery, the crucifixion of our Lord. So to me, all the five luminous mysteries are already there, and that's why personally I do not pray them. But I won't begrudge you if you do. But it's just that I hold to the way the rosary as it was, because it is what Our Lady gave us. Now, in this article, I will just point out a few reasons why I do this. And you can take my, you're free not to accept my opinion, so don't feel obliged. But Our Lady gave us 15 promises at Fatima, which again line up with the 15 mysteries. There are 150 psalms I mentioned to you already. A lady referred to the rosary as her psalter, and she even told the children at times to pray one third of her psalter. That works if there are 150 mysteries, Hail Marys. There are also in the gospel passage after the resurrection of 150 fishes in the net that the apostles pulled out when our Lord told them to cast the net on the other side and pull out the fishes. That lines up again with the 150 Hail Marys and the three Hail Marys that we begin the rosary with. Now, there is something I want to bring to your attention so you can, again, take it up, with a grain of salt, as large or as small as you want it to be. Now, when the new, quote-unquote, new rosary, now remember, Pope John Paul II, in the 19th paragraph of Rosarium Virginis Mariae, just said that these are a suggestion. He did not impose them on us, all right? And when this, it was already hailed as a new rosary by none other than the New York Times. You can look at the edition October 14, 2002. And so obviously if the New York Times is praising something, then you know how to take it. So this idea of John Venari also spoke against this idea of introducing novelty to make something acceptable to speak about. Even a lot of us are against this phrase, the new evangelization, because the gospel is already there. We just have to keep teaching it. This catechism, the doctrine of the church is the same. We just have to teach it. There's no reason to introduce novelties to attack them onto the traditional teaching of the church so that they become palatable or acceptable or anything. What saved our forefathers is good enough for us, and it will save us too. So the New York Times, it praised Pope John Paul II's courage and also praised his creativity. But there is, John Venari was against this, and again, there is no real reason for this creativity, for introducing something new and tacking it on to what we receive. What we receive is what is handed down to us, and that's where the word tradition comes from. Traditio, tradere, is to hand over. It's also the word used to betray, as in betraying our Lord, but still, it's the same word that means God handed doctrine to the apostles, who handed it on to us. So the apostles received, and our job is, now that we have received it, is to defend and teach this deposit of faith and not add to it. There's what's an interesting point brought up here are these few lines from an encyclical talking about the rosary. So, the Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, according to the tradition accepted by, there are the ellipses, then St. Pius V, and authoritatively taught by him, consists of various elements disposed in an organic fashion, a series of mysteries of salvation wisely distributed into three cycles. These mysteries express the joy of the messianic time, the salvific suffering of Christ, and the glory of the risen Lord which fills the church. The continued series of Hail Marys is the special characteristic of the rosary, and their number, in the full and typical number of 150, presents a certain analogy with the Psalter, and is an element that goes back to the very origin of the exercise of piety. What he's referring to here is the fact that even in the old religion, in the temple, the Psalms were prayed continuously. That's why in the Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson could put down very clearly our Lord intoning and praying the Psalms throughout his Passion, continuously, all the way to the end. Every time our Lord said something, you can trace it back to the Psalms and to something that was already in there. But this number, divided according to a well-tried custom into decades attached to the individual mysteries, is distributed in the three cycles already mentioned, thus giving rise to the rosary of 50 Hail Marys as we know it. This latter has entered into use as the normal measure of the pious exercise, and as such has been adopted by popular piety and approved by papal authority, which also enriched it with numerous indulgences. So you know what Pope Leo XIII did from last year's series of talks. So now, all of these lines that I just quoted to you are in the document Marialis Cultus from 1974, written by Pope Paul VI. All right, so Pope Paul VI himself defended the traditional rosary. He did not defend the traditional mass, but he defended the traditional rosary, and he refused to change it. Apparently, Annibale Bonini wanted him to reform the rosary, and he refused to change it. So at least he left the traditional rosary alone. So, which is another point that John Vinari brought up, saying that Pope John Paul II should also have refused to make any additions to it. The rest of the document, Rosarium Virginis Mariae, is very good, except for this little addition of the five luminous mysteries. So I would argue that if you are opposed to praying it, it's fine with me. But I myself, in my personal prayer, do not actually pray the luminous mysteries. But when I'm with people who do, I do not say anything. So the Pope left it to us. He made it a suggestion, and so I would not discourage people from praying it, especially if it increases your piety. But I wouldn't myself. That's why on Saturdays I do not say the joyful mysteries whenever we have the first Saturday of recollection. So I stay with the glories. So anyways, so continuing on with what do you say? What Pope Father Calloway says, he does point out that the luminous mysteries were again a suggestion of a priest from the island of Malta. A priest was canonized. He proposed these mysteries of light in 1957. His name was Saint George Preka, and this is what Pope John Paul II used as the luminous mysteries and introduced to the whole church. Now, again, it is not, again, the Pope left it to us. Now, I would recommend staying with the traditional mysteries only because Our Lady introduced them that way. You know that the rosary was first introduced to St. Dominic, yes, but popularized by another Dominican in the 15th century, Blessed Alan de la Roche, and he is the one who founded the confraternity of the Rosary, of which you are a member. Saint Albert the Great, another Dominican, had given a great homily about the marvels of the Hail Mary, which is also called the Angelic Salutation, and he spoke about the eighth marvel of the Rosary as the mine of all metals, thanks to which you are enriched and able to construct weapons to defend yourself against all enemies. The idea being that to go back to this time where the angel Gabriel announced the coming of the Messiah and the choice of Our Lady as the means by which the Messiah would come into the world, that itself is a time to look as God introducing and bringing forth His light into the world. And when we go back to this gospel, when saying the Hail Mary every single time, we can understand that no matter what difficulties we may face, or even if we don't, if we have a reason for God to see that God so loves us, that He chooses to come to us, into someone created out of the same flesh that He has created, and to come to us, to impregnate this flesh with His grace, and to take up upon Himself this this human flesh, so that He can save us.
Isn't that a mediation right there?
That is Our Lady, yes, putting herself forward as first of all co-redemptrix, And yes, also as mediatrix with our Lord of Graces. Yes. Now, St. Louis de Montfort, he wrote The Secret of the Rosary, and he also claimed that the Holy Rosary is a sharp and flaming shaft which, joined to the Word of God, gives the preacher the strength to pierce, move, and convert the most hardened hearts. St. Padre Pio, you know, prayed the Rosary continuously, you know, all through the day. And again, at his time, he prayed all the three sets of mysteries. He also pointed out that the Rosary is the weapon that wins all spiritual battles. Saint Therese of Calcutta also was well known to pray the Rosary continuously. She always held the Rosary in her hand, and she once held up the Rosary. It's a little amusing, but she held up the Rosary as a weapon to the guards at the TSA, actually, at in the airport. So, but that they let her through anyway. Sure. Saint Maximilian. No, that's actually whistling. Toilet, actually, in the corner. St. Maximilian Kolbe, he is the founder of the Militia Immaculate. And it is he who had some of the most profound insights about Our Lady, especially as being connecting the doctrine of Our Lady as co-redemptrix and mediatrix to her Immaculate Conception. And it was his teaching that was actually the source of for my sermon on at the Immaculate Conception. And he instructed all of the members of his spiritual militia to wield the spiritual sword of the Rosary, that is to pray constantly in order to dispel the darknesses in their own soul and allow the light of Christ in there. Pope Pius XII considered the Rosary to be a weapon similar to the sling of David from the Old Testament. And so there are many who spoke of the Rosary as a mighty weapon by which Our Lady has defeated Satan, as with the sling David defeated the giant Goliath. The Rosary was also spoken of as a powerful prayer against Satan, against the assaults of evil. Our church has brought and continues to bring great triumphs because of this prayer. The decades of the Rosary, from this point of view, can be used as weapons with which to assault Satan by breaking any affection of the soul against God and realigning them towards our Lord. In this way, frightening away Satan and also allowing Our Lady to crush his heads. So the Rosary is a spiritual weapon, Pope Benedict XVI has said, in the battle against evil, against all violence, for peace in hearts, in families, in society, and in the world. And in the Siege of Malta, you may have heard of it, it took place in the 16th century. The Rosary, the Pope at that time already encouraged the praying of the Rosary all across Christendom. And at the end of the siege, when 6,000 Catholic knights were able to defend the island of Malta against 40,000 Muslim soldiers attacking the island, at the end of it, Jean de Valette, the Grand Master of the Sovereign Military Order of St. John, went to a church carrying the famous icon of Our Lady of Damascus, which was in Birgu in Malta. He laid his cap and sword at the feet of Our Lady's image as a homage to her. It's still on display if you ever go to Malta and visit this church. And it was a homage to her for saving Christendom from the Muslims by holding back the Muslims, at least at Malta, so that they would not go on from there, use it as a staging point to invade Europe. And it was in that battle that besides the sword, the knights themselves prayed the Rosary every day. In fact, Jean de Valette had the Rosary engraved on his sword as part of the decoration of the sword, so that he could always have it with him when he went into battle. So Our Lady has never abandoned those who truly prayed the rosary with devotion, with zeal, with fervor, who truly worked at, you know, correcting any disorder in their own hearts. That is the point. First, we correct what is in our own hearts. That's what God wants to see of us. And He will use us as His channel to start reordering the world, bring it all into in line with His gospel. And that is the whole point. We correct our own hearts. We take care of our own families, deal with what's with us, in front of us. That's what God has given to us. That is His will for us. And He will take care of the wider world, our societies, our cities, our nation, and the whole wider world. And, you know, it is from our families that the politicians of tomorrow will come. So when the gospel reigns in the hearts of our children, our families, then, yes, the future politicians will actually do things that are good for the whole nation and bring whole nations in line with our Lord. Mm-hmm. There are guardian angels for each of us. There are also guardian angels for whole nations. Our Lady at Fatima referred often to the angel of Portugal. So in that way, you know, that when we fix or we keep ourselves in, bring ourselves in line with the gospel, we end up opening up the light of Christ for our own hearts, and through us, God will enlighten our nations and bring our nations in line with His gospel. So in that respect, and that is why the rosary is a great spiritual weapon to fight the powers of darkness in our own families, in our own hearts, and then fix our own nations, and then by reordering our nations, by dispelling the darkness from our own nations, we will end up allowing our nations to bring forth the light of Christ to the rest of the world. That is the whole point of praying the rosary and of being so, you can say, inwardly focused. But the idea is to allow God to bring His light outward to the whole world. So that's all I have for this talk today. And I didn't want to take too much time, but I hope, yes, we can continue the meeting. If anyone has questions, yeah.